My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, did you ever think about your own funeral? Maybe a couple of us have, and maybe you have some songs that you'd like sung, or or some hymns, at what many people today are calling a celebration of life. And I kind of like that instead of the word funeral, a celebration of life, because that's what we do. For the most part, when I've planned funerals with families, I've insisted on sacred music. However, a couple years ago, the husband of a member discovered that he had pancreatic cancer, and he didn't have long to live. And so he asked to be baptized, and the council president and I went to his home, and there he was baptized. And then I walked with him on this journey of cancer. His celebration of life was at a funeral home, and as the family walked out, all of a sudden this recording came on by Stevie Wonder. And it was, I just called to say I love you. And David used to do that. He would call people to say that he loved them. So actually it was quite fitting. So thinking again about your celebration of life, what scripture readings might you use? This one from John 11 is often used in funerals. Maybe you have some other favorites. When I was in seminary, and this is something maybe Alex can think about, when I was in seminary, we had to write our own funeral sermon. And that was quite an interesting task. I ended up using Luke chapter 10, which is another story about the sisters, Mary and Martha. And I talked about how I was like Mary because I wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, but how I also was like Martha and always wanted to get things done. What do you think people will say about you? Who would you expect to come to your funeral? Friends, family, congregation members, maybe an ex-wife or an ex-husband? Do you expect Jesus to be there? I think most of us would say, of course. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus didn't show up at his friend's funeral, and that's hard to understand. He tells the disciples that he has a greater purpose in mind, but only Thomas really gets it. He knows that there's trouble ahead. Mary and Martha were not very pleased with him. Indeed, they were angry with Jesus. They both say to him, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." They had seen Jesus do a lot of healing over the years, and they were confident that had Jesus come earlier, their brother would have lived. They are filled with hurt and disappointment, and yes, they are blaming him. Sorrow, anger, fear of the future, all of those emotions come rushing out of us at the time of death. We wonder what's going to happen now, and we find ourselves blaming each other, maybe ourselves, and even God. We struggle to understand why it is that our loved one has been taken from us. So when the sisters both greet him, they are angry and discouraged, yet happy that he's finally arrived. There is a ray of hope. "Jesus, do something. Do a miracle. Please do something." They prayed. And we too have had the same prayer in the cold reality of death. Jesus assures Martha that her brother will rise again. And as she calms down, he elicits from this woman a beautiful confession of faith. Yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And then, as he did with the woman at the well, he reveals to her the truth of his identity. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's a question that we all have to answer at some point in our lives. Do you believe this? I know I came to that answer sitting at my mother's bedside when she was dying. Other people might have to face that question in the midst of a war or the midst of another spiritual crisis. Do you believe? Well, Martha is sure. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. But as Jesus walks down to the tomb, he too is overwhelmed with grief. His love for Lazarus is evident, even though the crowds also blame him for not getting there sooner. Jesus is distressed too, but not at the sisters and not at the crowd. He is angry at death itself. He is angry at the power of death to take his friend away from him, a friend whom he loved very much. And in verse 38, it says that he was deeply moved. But the Greek word there is much stronger than that. It's a word that's used when horses rear back and their nostrils flare. Jesus is furious at death. In this story, it's very clear that Jesus, you see the depth of Jesus' humanity, and you also see the height of his divinity. Jesus is man and God. Lazarus, come out! The call echoes into the tomb. The voice of Jesus discloses the presence of the Creator God, the one who breathed life into all of God's creatures. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the valley of the shadow of death, and there is life once more. A miracle, we might say, but the gospel writer John calls it a sign that points to Jesus as the one chosen by God to bring life into our world. But it will cost Jesus dearly. This is the beginning of the end for Jesus. Anyone who can raise people from the dead is a great threat to the Jewish authorities. They are blind to his divinity, and they begin to plot to kill Jesus and to kill Lazarus too. They will spare nothing to keep themselves in power. Yes, Jesus was just as angry and sorrowful as any of us at death. But because Jesus was God's son, he could do something about it for the glory of God. He not only raised Lazarus from the dead, but he will raise us too. Jesus overcame death by going to the cross and dying it for us. He killed death. He put an end to the stench of death forever. And God raised him from the dead to show us that death is done forever. St. Paul reminds us in Romans 8, earlier in the chapter from what we read today, that nothing, absolutely nothing, not angels or demons or politics, not things in our past, or things we fear in the future, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The powers of death and destruction cannot keep us bound. Christ has overcome them for us through his death and resurrection. And what that means is that we are free to live. No story in the Bible, except for the one on Easter morning, I think proclaims this more boldly. I sometimes wonder what Lazarus did after he was raised from the dead. The next time we see him in John's Gospel, he is sitting at the table eating. Of course, he had to eat. But John also tells that because John is trying to prove that he's not a ghost. If any of you saw the movie Casper, you know that ghosts don't eat. But that's really what he was doing. But don't you think that Lazarus was really just full of life after that? He had to enjoy all of God's creation even more fully. He never worried about money again because he knew that God loved him and that God would take care of him no matter what. I bet he was often seen helping the poor. And maybe he did what he could to heal people's grief and sorrow. And so I wonder if we, who confess our faith in Jesus, who know that we too will live forever, who know that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to overcome death for us, I wonder if we can live like Lazarus, with a new lease on life. Some writers have called Christians the Easter people. And I really like that. We are the Easter people. When we go into work or into a store or just at home, we can reflect the new life of Christ that God has won for us. We can be excited about God's love for us so much that we share it with other people. You know, that word is contagious. Just the other night, I was at Olive Garden, sat down with my friend, and the manager came by. And she was wearing about a 2-inch filigree cross. And he came up to her and he said, "You be proud of that cross. Be proud of what Jesus did for you." And we both just smiled. Resurrection life is not just something that happens at the end. These readings today are not just for the future. They are a description of our life now. Easter life, resurrection life. It's what the people of God, the Easter people, are all about. Seek life. Choose life. Amen.